Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirk Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, happy Tuesday.
What is happening?
How we doing? How we feeling? Happy Election Day.
It is Election Day. Did you vote? Did you get your primary ballot in?
Huh? No, I'm going to turn it in after the show.
Yeah, I got to do that too. I forgot
it's
about that.
It's not exciting.
One. This one snuck up on me. I'm like, oh, that's right. We did have a ballot sitting in the mailbox, didn't we?
Got it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that later.
We'll get to it. Don't worry about it.
Come on, what are we
the
doing?
Primary ones always sneak up on you.
Yeah.
The big national ones, like Election Day, nobody forgets. These are the ones this time of year you're like, oh, that's right. There's something going on.
Well, especially last night when you have everything that's happening, and I'm just like, it could not be further from the front of my mind at this point in my life.
Totally redeemed themselves after a horrible weekend of sports. Last night was like, hey, hold my beer. Let me deliver on multiple fronts. I did enjoy. We had one listener who tweeted us last night, was like, I didn't watch any of it. I was watching the WNBA and the Mariners, and I thought,
well, that's part of it.
That's
is it
part
not?
Of the night.
It's
I'm
sports.
Not upset about it. You just missed two of the best games of the entire year, two other sports. But, you know, to each their own. If that's what you want to watch last night, you do you, boo. No king shaming here.
We had two overtimes in one and one in the other.
Yes.
I also was able to watch the WNBA game.
Look at that. That's the beauty of YouTube TV. You quad box that bitch.
Now,
Mariners not on the playlist.
I just, look, it's not anti-Mariners.
No.
It's, they're not available on YouTube TV. I didn't buy the package, so it's blacked out in my market.
Well, even if you buy, you're not buying the Mariner only package, because if you buy just the MLB app ad, you can't watch them here. So I'm not spending the money to watch 162 Mariner games. That's not going to be on my Rolodex this time of year.
I did see that Colt Emerson got his first hit, and it happened to be a three-run home run.
Three-run dinger last night, first big league home run.
Now,
was it his first hit too?
It was his first hit.
So first hit, yeah, and first home
hit,
run.
First home run.
It's a pretty cool way to do it.
Well, I would argue in all of sport, because this is what's unique and great about baseball. It's got to be in the running for like best possible outcome for the first of something. Like,
yeah,
your first basket, I guess, in basketball, like if LeBron had played, I think he played the Kings his very first game in the
NBA.
I'll
never forget it.
Big deal, primetime game. If LeBron had not scored a single bucket until the very end
game
and hit a game-winning shot at his first bucket.
Oh!
But I think the argument would be more like how overrated he was because his only basket was that basket.
He would have been like 0 for 12 at that point.
In hockey, like how often in hockey does a guy's first shot on goal become a goal?
Right.
Right?
Not so like, very often.
In football, it's kind of the same. Is your first throw in the NFL a long touchdown pass?
Or your first catch is a long touchdown catch, like first game that you play?
Right. It sometimes will happen, I guess, in the NFL. But like, sure, really, the quarterback position is the only one I can equate this to. It is uniquely, it's just a very unique circumstance of like accomplishing something that is also one of the best feats you can have in all of sports.
Yes,
is the combo of first hit home run deal.
Also, I think the home run, like the home run that you hit, matters too. Like a solo shot and you're up 9-0, still cool.
Oh, it's still badass.
Not quite as memorable. Not that they were going to lose the game, but I think it was 3-1, and then he hit a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 8th inning, which is essentially a game winning. Like the game's over. The White Sox aren't scoring 5 runs in the ninth. So the moment and the time also helps a little bit too. There's guys, I remember guys back in the day over the years watching baseball long enough, there's been guys who have had grand slams in their first career hit.
That's cool.
Brandon Crawford did that when he got called up, and I'll never forget why we were in Milwaukee. He came up, bases loaded. I'm like, who's this long-haired young shortstop? Hey, he had a grand slam. All right, I'm a fan of his. That's pretty badass.
I can't even think of anything that's in the running.
No, nothing as cool as that, because in an NBA game, you hit your first shots early in the game. It's just usually not going to happen. Football is the only equivalent. Like, I don't know. I guess to your point, hockey, it could happen too.
But first shot on goal being right. a goal, like, that's right. got to be a very unique circumstance. Not saying
very
it's never happened. I just,
very rare.
Top of my mind, I can't think of, like, a great hockey player that was their start to the NHL.
It leads to a debate that I don't know if we ever had on the show, but you'll have to tell me. There was a name. There was a Braves pitcher, like, a month ago who made his Major League debut in Washington, mm-hmm. and he came up, and I remember it being like Braves fans were, you know, all right, here we go. Got a young guy making his first start.
Yeah,
and I don't know if he's still in the big leagues or not. We never ended up talking about it on the air, but I remember seeing
his first pitch home run.
First pitch he throws, like, I'm just, here we go. First big league start. You know, his heart's beating out of his chest. Let's get one over the plate. And whoever was hitting leadoff for the Nats took him deep. The first pitch he ever threw in the big leagues. And it led to a debate, which is kind of dumb, like the unwritten rule nature of sports that we get into from time to time of, like, dude, it's the guy's first pitch in the big league. Shouldn't you take one? Like, let him hold on to that baseball.
J.R. Ritchie.
Yeah, like, just let the catcher catch it. Let him toss it over to the dugout. All right, we got that out. He's in the big leagues. He just, the leadoff hitter was like, nope, I don't care.
See ya.
Boom, hit one into right field. That's not a ball the pitcher wants. It's the first pitch he ever threw. Now it's in the right field stands.
You know,
the unwritten rules, let him get one over the plate. Come on, man.
You know what? The last time I was thinking about this, now that you bring it up, because that happened, I started laughing. Acuna does this very well. Acuna knows most pitchers want to settle in.
First pitch of the game.
First pitch, down the pipe. And then we go. Here we go. The baseball game has started.
Feel the timing out.
Dude, Acuna feasts on the first pitch of every game that he plays in.
Yeah.
But I remember, I don't know why I remember this, but you bring this up. I remember watching the very first pitch in game of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Really?
This is years ago. When did they become a franchise? 97?
Yeah.
98, whatever it was.
Somewhere
2000?
In there.
I don't remember the year.
I thought it was before that, but somewhere in there.
Sure. But I remember watching it because Fred McGriff was a Devil Ray, and I was like, oh my God, we got a new baseball team. This is kind of cool. And
1998, first ever game.
And I remember watching the first pitch, and it was it's the organization's first pitch.
First
what do you
one
think
ever.
He threw?
Meatball.
Right down the middle.
Right.
And I think the batter and everybody involved had like a prearranged, I'm going to throw a strike. Yeah. It'll be sentimental.
Yeah. We need to hold on to this. It's going to go in like our team museum.
Right.
First pitch in franchise history.
I remember just thinking like, dude, why didn't you crank that?
Why would you not swing
it? You should have ruined this entire moment. You should have just swung right out of your butt.
It was 88 miles an hour right down the plate. You're not going to get a better pitch to hit all night.
Yeah, I just remember tuning in. I was like, McGriff, they had old-ass drunk Wade Boggs.
Yes.
And I just remember thinking, like, you should swing on that first pitch. More players should be swinging on first pitches.
They should. I agree with that take, because every time I feel like I watch, how often do you feel like you see a breaking ball first pitch of the game?
Oh.
I feel like it. I mean, I'm sure it happens, and there's analytics that will tell you actually 22% of the time they're throwing curveballs.
Yes.
But I feel like the vast majority of games that you turn on the first pitch of the game, now it's not always a strike. Sometimes guys can't find the zone right away, but overwhelmingly it is a fastball.
But give me the percentage you would guess, just blindly saying you think the first pitch of the game is generally a fastball down the middle.
87.4%.
Yeah. I was going to say 72%. Yeah. I watch a Brave game, and I'm like, yep, right down the middle. We're not swinging. Okay.
Boom. Strike one. All right. Why didn't we swing at that, dude? It was on a tee. What are we doing here, man?
That's the beauty of my player. When he plays, he swings at it.
I just love the idea of unwritten rules of, like, you can't swing at that pitch.
Is that
man.
Really an unwritten rule?
It wasn't necessarily. Like, nobody was outraged. It was more of just a joke of, like, dude, like, come on.
Let him settle in.
Get the guy one pitch at least.
Yeah.
But that's happened in All-Star games in years past, too. Like, remember Jeter's last All-Star game? This is very controversial, I remember. Because I think at the time they were still doing, like, winner of the game gets home field advantage in the World Series. And it was everybody knew it was his last All-Star game. Mm-hmm. He came up, I want to say, with runners on base. And it was, you knew it was a predetermined, like, hey, buddy, I'm going to throw you 86, and it's going to be right out over the plate. And it was like the first pitch meatball right down the middle, and he lined it for a double down the line. I can't remember exactly. I just remember him getting a big hit in the game, and it was the most cookie cutter, I know this is coming, here's an easy-to-hit fastball pitch you'll ever see in your entire life.
Trying to look up the because I remember watching in the moment. I want to see if Cal Ripken's was a
good one. Like, hey,
because that moment, I mean, that's one of the more iconic sports moments of my life.
All-star moments, especially in Seattle. Like, in Seattle.
0-1, they were having a magical run. It was a big deal. It was in the Pacific Northwest.
He was playing shortstop in the game because it was his last All-Star game. And A-Rod, I'll never forget watching that game.
That was crazy. And he hit the home run. Died with a bat. They got launched at him.
Flying at him, and he fell over.
Now, let me see.
Couldn't stand up. And that home run, that's one of the cooler moments in baseball history, especially if you're a Northwest fan, because it meant so much to have the All-Star game in this part of the country, because we weren't old enough to remember that happened in, like, the 1970s, and we weren't obviously alive. So 2001 was a big deal when they got the All-Star game, and then to have it be Ripken's last one and hit the home run was really cool.
Okay, so I have a weird thing. My computer, if I hit the volume off, it will still play volume because I had to have my computer fixed the other day. It's a really weird setup.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, dude.
Easy pitch to hit. Yeah.
I guarantee you, I don't want to say that this was an inside.
I mean, you still got to go hit a home run, right? Like, you got, even if you know it's coming, you still got to do it.
Yeah, but the wind up, and it looks like it might be 75, just right, and it's lobbed in almost.
Here you go, Cal.
Just cranks it.
Here comes one to hit, Cal. Let's give the fans what they want to see.
Who did he hit this off of?
I could not tell you that for $1 million.
Do you remember what inning it was? Because in my mind, I had this as like an eighth inning.
I have it later in the game, but I don't.
It's the third inning.
Ah, so it was early. You know, they might have subbed him out in the game to give him a standing ovation, now that you think about it. Because that rarely does the starter of the All-Star game finish the All-Star game.
It might be Mike Hampton.
Mike Hampton's
a great. It might be Mike Hampton. Mike Hampton was 51 when he was on the Astros.
Some people call Mike Hampton the Shohei Ohtani before Shohei Ohtani. That was a power-hitting pitcher for you right there. They would DH him from time to time. Mike Hampton is a great throwback.
Hated Mike Hampton. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how much I hated Mike Hampton.
Let the hate flow through you. Doesn't it feel good to just randomly hate athletes for no reason?
It looked like Mike Hampton. It looks like an Astros, because I think the Astros were still in the NL at this point.
Yeah, it would have been 2001, right?
And it's a 51. Yeah, I don't know if it's Mike Hampton. I can't get a good photo of him in the Astros.
So if it was in 2001, he was technically in Colorado at that point. So maybe not Mike Hampton.
Maybe it's not Mike Hampton. No. Who would have been a starting pitcher? It looks like Houston, but I can't quite tell.
Let me see if Google AI can answer the question.
It would have been the third inning, so I don't know if it would have been the starter at that point or if they would have been into the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. The third inning in their All-Star game. It's 61.
Okay.
Who the hell was sick? Just go to the 2001 NL All-Star team.
This is a great Google right out of the gate.
I don't care.
This, according to Google AI, 2001, it was Chan Ho Park.
Dude.
Became the very first pitch of the third inning. It was Ripken's 19th home run in an All-Star game.
I just want you guys to collectively out there.
Oh, no, 19th final All-Star appearance, not 19th home run in an All-Star game.
Yeah. Look up Chan Ho Park pitching. I'm pretty confident in saying this because I watched me some Chan Ho Park in his career.
Who could forget Chan Ho Park?
I'm pretty certain this is an absolute meatball have a moment, because his windup, everything about it just looks a little off than what I am accustomed to watching with Chan Ho Park.
I think these things happen in these kind of games, which, by the way,
doesn't that kind of kill it a little bit in retrospect?
No,
it's a great thing to happen, but
I don't care if we landed on the moon or not. Give me the video. They're walking around out there, all right? Let me believe. Let me have hope. Magic exists, okay?
No.
Groove one to Cal. Nobody needs to know.
If we're going to get mad at LeBron James for having his kid out there,
no, we can't do that.
We need to be mad at Chan Ho Park for grooving one to Cal Ripken and saying, go hit one.
This is the equivalent more so of, although these games don't count, it's more so the equivalent of Brett Favre falling down for the sack record against Michael Strahan.
Dude, I'm telling you,
like,
this
wind-up
is
not a sack.
Here you go.
Here you go, Cal.
Here you go.
87 and...
He did crank it, though. I got to give Cal's credit.
Out into the bullpen, right? Was it over the bullpen? If I remember, it was left field. I thought he pulled it.
It's in the bullpen.
Yeah, in the bullpen.
It's like it almost hits the wall and falls into the bullpen.
I mean, in terms of like Major League Baseball All-Star moments that I can remember vividly, that one is up there. Torii Hunter robbing Bonds of a home run in Milwaukee is one I'll never forget.
I remember the after moment of that play.
Yeah.
Bonds picking him up and jokingly carrying him. And I'm like, God, I love this sport. Ended up being a tie, and he's on steroids, just devastating years later.
I'm watching at home. He's definitely not on steroids.
This is going to be the dumbest admission. Having gone through 98 and the home run chase, and like knowing or hearing about steroids, but not really having anybody in my life being older to talk about it.
Right.
I didn't really consider Bonds and the steroid thing. And then the 73 season happens, and I'm like,
all of a sudden, he's the size of Hulk Hogan.
And yeah, and he started getting bigger.
That's
and like
uncomfortably big.
And then it started becoming more into the conversation and narrative just a couple years later. Like, yeah, he definitely is on those news.
His head grew 37 sizes in the last 3 years.
Like he's a triple XL now.
Dude, it's natural neck workouts, okay? You put one of those bars around your head. You're doing some neck lifts. It's all you got to do, okay? It's natural.
Magical moments being ruined because they're given. It really is kind of a devastating thing in our sports lives.
It absolutely is.
The Favre sack thing, I'll never forget. That was an absolute lay down. Here's the record. I like you.
I love you, Michael Strahan. Yeah. Cool gap in your teeth, and I'm falling down.
The Chan Ho Park home run now to Cal Ripken. I hate to poo-poo it on
Jeter's last hit
morning.
In the All-Star game. That go back and watch that pitch. It was a right down the middle. Here you go, room
just
service
a groove
fastball.
Down. Here
it's
you
the
go,
same thing, dude. And he took advantage of it, and it created an iconic moment. I want maybe it wasn't an All. Maybe it was his last game ever. Like he got a hit late in his career, and I feel like it was an All-Star game, but I don't know.
Didn't he get a walk-off in his final game?
His last at bat was a walk-off hit.
Is that what you're remembering?
It might have been that, too. I can't remember if the team they were playing sucked. I know this stuff happens, and I don't have any issue with it. It's not ruining it for me, because we more so remember the iconic moment. Like, if I ask you again, all-star moments you remember, Cal Ripken's home run is near the top of the list from the all-star game, whether it was grooved or not, okay? It's a moment we'll never forget.
Is a 92-mile-per-hour ball a meatball?
Yeah, I think
so. If it's down the middle, those guys are trained for those. Yeah,
if you know 92's coming down the middle, like a big league hitter can handle that easily.
Then, yes, then it's scripted.
Yeah, if you're
by the way, they were playing Baltimore. How good was Baltimore when he did this?
Baltimore had a
couple. They were 11 years ago, so they were probably in that sweet spot of a couple years of
being
good.
They had a few years of being good. They had a few years of going to the playoffs there. It didn't last long, and they didn't win a series. But they had Chris Davis hitting like 60 home runs. Like they had a couple of good seasons in there. I can't remember if it was specifically that year, but I know they had a few playoff years. That was prior to their tank.
He ended, so his walk-off hit was against Baltimore, his final one. And, I mean, it's a 5-5 game in the ninth. I don't know if it's necessarily.
That's probably not the example. Then.
It's a good hit, though, by Jeets.
I'd have to go, maybe it was the All-Star. I think it was
the
All-Star
game. He
goes
Oppo on it.
Yeah, he goes Oppo, walk-off single.
Yeah.
Nobody came up to the plate with moments and came up with the hit more so in their career. Every time he was in one of those spots, he was like Robert Horry that way. Like, if it's a close NBA playoff game and the ball finds its way to
it
Robert Horry,
it's
going in.
Yeah.
You just know, okay, here comes a hit.
It makes me think of other moments that have been grooved for us to experience good moments. Like, Dirt famously doesn't have a hole-in-one.
No.
But the one he speaks of happens at a child's course with his dad involved, and I'm always, like, in the back of my mind, I have his dad's feet blocking the pin.
It's a tee shot. We're all in the tee box. Nobody's on the green. It's 150 yards, all right? What do you think these are? 80-yard holes? You ever played the kid's course? What's the matter with
you? His dad just happened to go back at midnight that night, look around, make sure nobody's awake, delete the videos. So he doesn't see him.
Dad, where are you? It's down at the green. It went in. What?
You got a hole in one, Andy. You can tell everybody at school. All right.
Hey, I was in the newspaper, bitch. All right. I got the file cut out. Okay. I got a photo of it. Evidence. Prove it.
Oh, at least we got a good night, though. I tell you what, the Thunder weren't letting Wimby do that. He just took it from him. He snatched their souls last night.
Jesus, I don't know if I've ever had a game where I simultaneously hate both teams and don't enjoy, but love and appreciate everything that I'm watching. That's one of the best. I don't know. Maybe
that's one of the best.
I'm caught in the moment. It's one of the best playoff games I've ever seen in my entire life.
And say, best game since? Which, I'll play the game. I also kind of hate that question. This isn't a slight at that person. I've had a lot of people do that with me.
We memory
best
hole
game since.
Like, think of Indiana's run last year and some of the comebacks they had in the playoffs.
Dude, the Knick game with the ball bouncing a million feet
up.
That was an amazing
game. Back down through the hoop. Like,
I didn't want to respond the regular season game against Denver because they also went to overtime in that one. And that was Joker and Wimby going head to head.
That doesn't count. Get out of here.
Well, it's a regular season game. That's the reason I didn't list it.
Right. It's not quite the same.
But there's no answer to the best game since.
No.
Everybody wants 2016 game 7. You're missing a lot of good basketball games that have happened.
There's a few good playoff games throughout the course of the night. Kawhi Leonard's game winner against Philly. Like, there's been quite a few of those over the years, man.
Yeah, that's a great throwback one.
Him getting to the conference finals.
They blew that lead, by the way. I rewatched that game the other day. They completely blew the lead, and he just had the ball with 5 seconds, dribbles up. Dude, talk about, like, he's a great player. And look, you shoot the ball for it to go in. Just all-time kind of like, I'm fading away over two defenders.
On the baseline, right? Wasn't he right in front of his bench?
On the side of the rim. Yeah. How many times in your life? I've put up a lot of shots in my lifetime. How many times have you from the side shot and watched it bounce straight up and then just come smoothly down and fall in?
Once in a blue moon shot.
Seriously.
You couldn't do that again if you tried 10 times.
I don't think he could duplicate it if I gave him 50 shots.
With nobody
right now
defending him, hit the back of the rim, have it bounce up in the air, and then go into the hoop.
Wherever Kawhi Leonard is at, probably Los Angeles, I could give him 50 shots to do exactly that. I don't think he can make it happen.
No. That was a great game. Also, a what-if moment, too, because if Philly wins that game,
they might win the finals.
I think Philly wins an NBA championship.
That's great. The and process. Is Ben Simmons still in the NBA if that shot doesn't go in?
What do we say about Joel Embiid if he has a ring?
Oh, my God. Is Jimmy Butler still a Sixer?
Is Jimmy Butler still a 76er?
Oh, man.
The what-if scenario
is one
Kawhi
of the best what-ifs of all time.
Hitting that shot. Toronto goes on. Their president is now revered around the league as a genius because he's the one that got Kawhi and it got him a title. That's a big what-if swing.
Well, also, the Raptors don't win a title swinging for Kawhi, and we're like,
he leaves after
swing,
1 year,
dude.
And we make fun of him. Yeah. That didn't work out for you. And then anytime a rental player comes up, we say, well, the Raptors didn't
win a championship. I'm not doing that. Well, it's good to be in with you. We sportsed it up pretty hard last night. A lot to get to today. We got Bill Conley on at 8 a.m., so we'll talk some college football, Bill Conley. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Let's get it going. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Tuesday morning on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 6:28 on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan. My computer's finally fixed.
Hey, well done.
Shout out Josh on that one. So I'll finally be able to let you know that today, Mail Sack is going to be in the final hour. You can get Mail Sack questions in at the Fan text line, which is 503. Are you writing this down?
Write it down.
864.
What's the rest of it?
6326.
Ooh, how about that?
You can text that number and send anything. You could tell us how much you hate us, how much you love just me, how awful dirt is.
Pretty bad, dude.
You know? How much you love me.
The nude pictures won't come through, though. Unfortunately, you can't send us nudes.
Yeah.
Photos don't show up on the text machine.
But we do know when you're sending a D pic.
Yeah.
Or a tease pic.
Stop it.
You know? Okay?
We see it.
We kind of see it.
You're proud of it, all right? I get it. Stop sending them to us.
I wanted to reveal something that I think you would enjoy from last night with all the sports that were going on.
Pretty good sports night last night.
But something we did not talk about, and I know that you didn't watch it. To be honest with you, I didn't watch it, and I'll go further. Anybody that did watch it wasted their time.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the Ronda Rousey fight by chance?
I did not see the Ronda Rousey fight.
Did you see what happened?
I did not see what happened. I knew she was
fighting. Can you take a guess at what happened?
Did she? Did I see a headline that she won?
She won.
Okay. I did not see how it transpired.
So the gal she won is Gina Carano.
Carano.
She was in the Mandalorian series. She was the badass chick carrying the gun.
Haven't seen it, but I'll take your word for it.
She came out a little conservative. She got canceled off of the show. It became this big societal, you don't cancel her!
God, it just for speaking
of
mine.
She sued Disney. It became a big thing.
Okay, I think I remember that headline. I just didn't know the name of the actress.
Well, she used to fight, so she came back and she goes, you know what?
I'm gonna fight this out.
I'm a fight again.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? And then it was Ronda Rousey. It was like, Ronda Rousey hasn't fought in a long time.
Been a minute. I thought she's been wrestling. Didn't she go to WWE?
I think she did a little WWE, and then I don't know if she still does it. I can't pretend to know, but I don't know if she does it as regularly. Anyways, she came out as the opponent. This became a big headline. It was like, oh my God, a once upon a time fighter with one of the biggest fighting names we'd heard in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Here we go. Gina Carano had to lose, I read, 100 pounds for this fight.
100 pounds?
Because she was so so much bigger than Ronda Rousey.
Jesus.
I think it was like 90 to 100 pounds, if I'm correct.
Holy shnikes.
So she took this huge transformation on. This fight is massive. It's a big card.
I saw it on Netflix when I logged in on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I opened up the iPad to scroll around in
Who
bed,
was
and
featured?
I'm like, it was right there,
it was
top
those
of the
two.
Screen. It was Rousey and What's-Her-Nuts.
The bell rings. Everybody's excited. Here we go. What's going to happen? 17-second fight. Ronda Rousey got her on the ground. She taps. 17 seconds.
Now, it wasn't behind a paywall, was it? It was free because it was on Netflix?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Because if it's a 17-second fight that's not behind a paywall, like, that's not ideal. I'd imagine if you're a fight fan.
If it's not behind a paywall, please correct the record on the fan text line.
Because it was on Netflix. Netflix doesn't do paywalls, do they?
No. Usually not.
I don't
usually
know with MMA anymore.
They didn't do one for the Tyson-Jake-Paul fight, if I remember correctly.
That's fine.
That's the only
that's
helping
That's not even
case.
The big deal to me. A 17-second fight.
I mean, it's ludicrous. It's one of the reasons that I respect the hell out of the sport. I can never do it. I'm not man enough. All of that being said, that's one of the reasons I can't do it.
If I put you in a cage
if I get excited,
with Conor McGregor,
can I last 17
could
seconds?
Could you last 17
no.
seconds? No?
Unless he wanted to let me 17 seconds. If he didn't want me to last 17 seconds, there's not a chance in hell, dude. One kick or punch. Ow! You get me on the ground in some chokehold. I'm dying,
dude,
over here.
Dude, as soon as he storms at you,
soon
as he runs at you, I think I have you tapping.
Yes, I'd four, maybe. How long does it take him to run to my side of the ring? That's how long I would last against Conor McGregor.
If you didn't say who you were, I just wonder, because it's almost more of a feel out is the reason it went 17 seconds.
Sure.
Because as
soon
as they come together.
You're standing around, you're kind of, feeling it.
She drags her to the ground, gets her arm, and it's an instant, I'm done!
I'm out. Imagine losing 100 pounds to have a fight last 17 seconds.
Well, it's...
Was it worth it?
The internet's not been kind to her.
No.
Everybody is wondering, did you train for this, or did you just do this as a weight loss journey?
Yeah, you know, hey, if you did it for a weight loss journey, good for you. I also would imagine with Rousey in the fight that she got a decent-sized check out of the deal.
Oh, she got paid.
Right,
they
she got paid.
She
yeah, you
got paid.
Got
she
paid,
got paid, too. Gina got paid, too.
I just, look, I know our fight brothers and sisters will disagree strongly with this. It's just, I remember being at a cousin's house years ago, and he's super into UFC.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the main card was, but it was one of those big Saturday night fight nights, and I'm staying with him, and he's like, buddy's coming over, doing fight night.
I love
tonight.
A good fight night.
I
if
do
it's
too.
Names I'm familiar with, I'll watch a good fight night.
I'm not
night.
A big UFC guy, but I remember knowing the names, and I remember watching all these undercards, everybody's having a good time, you know, drinking.
Yeah.
All right. All right, here we go. Everybody gather around.
Yep.
And I want to say 37 seconds in, it was over. And I remember just looking out around the room like,
that's it?
It's over? That's the end of the... We just partied for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Waited all day for the main card.
Yeah, but did you watch the undercards?
I mean, we did, but I didn't know
the undercards
any of the
can be really good.
I'm not
good.
Saying they can't be good fights, but why are you buying the fight? You're buying the fight
I
for
know.
The main ticket.
I agree.
I'm not going to a movie to see the trailer. That was a good trailer. The movie sucked, but it was a good trailer. Now I got that movie to go see in a couple of months when it comes out. Like, you're there for the main fight. And I know that doesn't happen often. Like, sometimes you get the classic fights, but 17 seconds is, if you had to pay for that fight and it was over in 17 seconds, I'd be livid.
I mean, let's just say the internet is having a field day with a 17-second fight after
some people
that
would tell you 17
up.
Seconds is a long time.
I don't know who those people are.
They're out there.
But they're out there, and they would let you know that.
I can't last that long.
By the way, you're kind of taking me through I'm trying to play like a memory game. The best movie trailer for what ended up being a colossal.
Is colossally a word?
No.
It could
be. A colossal failure of a movie. Like, you saw the trailer, you're like, dude.
That's a good question.
And then you watched the movie, and you went, what?
I'll give you one somewhat recently, for me, because you know right up my alley, the Napoleon movie with Joaquin Phoenix. The trailer, I remember seeing it and being like, oh, dude, that's in my wheelhouse.
Can
I give you a groove fastball? That's 88 right down the middle for me. And that movie sucked.
I'll give you one. It's a kind of a time and a moment. So you got to think about who he was and how big he was in the moment of it.
Sure.
When Will Smith released the trailer for Hancock, I was like, dude,
this is going to be a big
he's
deal.
He's like a drunken former superhero.
He's the anti-hero. He's the, you know, he's the bad guy, but he's also a hero.
That movie was so
so bad.
so bad.
He's got a few of those. I feel like Wild West was that way too.
Dude, it has. Doesn't it have Charlize Theron in it? And yes. Jason Bateman?
Fairly confident Jason Bateman is the husband of Theron in the
How
movie.
How do you have those three in a movie and it be as bad as it was?
Yeah, that thing flopped, man.
It was terrible.
I remember. Yeah, I'm. That's a good point on the trailer though, because it was a unique spin in an era in which all we were getting was we still kind of are superhero movies, and it was like, oh, that's at least a new interesting spin.
It's like not, a spin on it.
Right, it's not the same Superman movie I've seen 87 times where nothing can kill him, and he's, you know, that was a unique spin, and that movie absolutely sucked.
Just terrible.
Did not deliver in any way, shape, or form.
But the thing in sports last night that I think you would have been proud of, my daughter asked about a month and a half, 2 months ago, she goes, Dad, I kind of want to watch hockey. And I go, well, you should wait to watch playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey's undefeated.
And she goes, okay. And I explained how, like, intense it can be. Well, we hadn't really fully sat down. Yesterday, we sat down and we watched.
It was perfect timing. It started a little bit before the NBA game. The third period was kind of going on at halftime. Yep. So you could kind of, you know, sway your attention away. Phenomenal hockey game.
She ended up pulling for the Canadiens.
Okay. She's a big Canada fan.
And she just, like, she didn't understand half of what was going on. Then she'd ask me questions and I couldn't explain it. So I had to Google AI it.
Let's see.
They were like, why is that a rule? And I was like, because, you know, they don't want them to
the thing.
Do the thing. They and she's like, what thing? And I was like,
well, the thing of the thing. Can't, you know, you can't do.
They don't want them to get away with doing that thing. What? Why?
It's 2 minutes.
Because it's not good for the sport.
My favorite rule for new people in the hockey world.
She hates icing, by the way.
Icing, yeah.
Why are we blowing the whistle every time the puck hits the board
because
on the other end?
We don't want people to just shoot the puck down the ice the entire game. Then you know what it would be? It would be soccer. Let's play for 0-0 ties. Just send it down the length of the ice.
To which I also responded, I've never liked icing, and I still don't really understand what the point of it is.
If you ice the puck, then it's got to come back in your own zone for a face-off. It's right next to your goaltender. You can't do that all game. Soccer, you just boot the ball down the field. No ramifications.
Would we get more goals if we didn't have icing?
We would get far fewer goals if we had no icing.
All right.
Because then defensively, you would just build a 1-0 lead, and what would you do?
Hit the puck
every
down?
Time, you just send the puck down to the other end of the ice.
All right.
And now if you do it, the faceoff comes right back in front of your goaltender.
Well, you explained that a lot better than Google AI.
And you cannot change players. So if you've got guys who are tired on the ice and you want to get them off the ice, but you can't because the other team's dominating you in their offensive zone, they got to stay on the ice if you ice the puck.
She struggled with following the puck at all times, to which I said, that's totally normal. Sometimes
totally normal.
You lose it a little bit.
The more you watch, the easier it becomes.
And she started reading a book because she can't handle sports anxiety.
Yeah.
It, like, drives her crazy watching sports.
Let alone a game 7 overtime, next goal wins.
And I said, hey, you got to put that down. You just, in hockey, you never know. And coincidentally, when they hit the game-winning goal in overtime, I had a weird feeling. I'm like, there's something really oddly strange about the way this is taking place. And I said, look up.
Here, come here.
Bam.
There it is.
Right under the arm happened. She's like, that's it?
That's it.
And I'm like, that's it?
It's over.
They've won the whole series.
Now they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
She couldn't believe it. And then the Wimby game was going on, and she just was losing her mind.
Last night was such a fun. I know we'll spend more time on the Wimby stuff last night because the Conference Finals was one of the best playoff games I can remember. Very cool that Canada's still alive. I did have my Sabres ticket. That has come to an end, so I'm sad about that.
Well, my cousin pointed out, so the women's hockey playoffs is going on as well.
Okay.
And they've had a good run post the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the attendance has been phenomenal.
People following it, watching.
Do you know that the only two teams left in the women's league is Canadian?
I did not know that.
It might be a Canadian sweep in the men and women.
Do they have, like, a different version of the Stanley Cup they give to women's hockey?
Yeah, I think they have the equivalent to whatever their league is.
I mean, you got to give them, like, Stanley Cup. I mean, you got to have something massive. Hockey
I think it's
trophies.
The PWHL, if
that
I'm not
sounds
mistaken.
Right. Professional Women's Hockey League. I think you were correct there. But the other part of it that was wild too is that not only did they win after they Montreal jumped all over them 2-0 early, and you're like, uh-oh.
The Walter Cup.
Yeah. Thank you. And I had the under bet, so 2 goals into the game in the first period, I'm like, there goes the under, and it ended up hitting. Five ended up being the total. When it went to overtime, I knew that bet was cashed. But the cool part was the fact that you had somebody in Alex Newhook score the game-winning goal in overtime for Montreal, he also scored the game-winner in overtime of Game 7 against Tampa. And I think he's the second guy in NHL history who has 2 Game 7 winners in the same playoffs.
How about that?
He just did it in the last round, but that one was in overtime. It was like 10 minutes left, and then they held on the rest of the way. But it was the game-winning goal of the series, this one in overtime. So he's done it twice in their first 2 rounds of the playoffs.
We'll dive into the Wimby OKC experience coming up at 7 a.m. today. Just tell you right now, that was historical.
I'm just going to pack it up and go home for 10 years. We don't need to talk about the Blazers. Go ahead and have them, Kalamazoo. We'll get them back 10 years.
Kalamazoo,
you take them.
Just go be the Kazoos for a decade.
Go be the Kazoos for 10 years.
When Wimby retires, you come back.
Can you please tank while you're doing it, though, so we could get a lot of draft picks, and then in 10 years you come back, okay?
Is Wimby Jr. going to be 7'5"? Yeah. Be great to know that now. We'll get to that coming up. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on 105.1.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Eat your own butt.
Welcome back in. 6:46. We'll get to Wimby in his first conference finals game last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. To which I would just say I love this headline from the Oklahoman. They had an op-ed entitled, "The parallels between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Nation of Israel are difficult to ignore. Neither was supposed to become what it is. Both are the underdog that people are choosing to hate."
I'm sure that was well received by everybody involved.
So much so they had to delete it off of their website and act like it was never written and talked about.
No, that didn't happen. No.
There's a real human being that sat down and went,
I got an idea.
To remind me of.
That's like Colin Cowherd with a galaxy brain with some of the analogies that he'll make. Like, how can I combine two massive topics right now and write an op-ed about it and get it published in the paper?
I feel like if you told Colin, what if you led today with, much like the underdog story in the Middle East and the Star of David, you comp them to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
He still has his...
I think even then, Colin's like, buddy.
Wait, hey, that's a little extreme there of a comp. Let's maybe not do that.
You're not writing for my show anymore. You're out of here.
That one. He still has his fastball from time to time because his analogies is what I always think of when I think of Colin.
Oh, yeah.
He had one I saw in a clip the other day. He was doing a podcast and he compared Kevin Durant to a boat. And it was when you buy...
You want your friend to have it, but
when you buy the boat, it's a great day. Like, I got a boat.
Yeah.
And then after a year, you're like, dude, this boat's expensive.
What
I got to clean it.
Boat?
Where do I store
it?
This is a pain in the ass. I want to get rid of the boat. And it was the best days of Kevin Durant, or when you trade for him, and then when you trade him, those are the two best days of having Kevin Durant on your team.
We'll dive into the Wimby Thunder game from last night, game one of the Western Conference Finals. Dirt saying just pack it in for a decade already as a Blazer fan.
There's no hope, dude.
I can't blame anybody for the thought today, and if that's how you feel, you can let us know at the Fan Text Line, 503-864.
We got Young Hansen, don't worry.
6326.
He's ready.
Look, I know I don't talk about it as much on the radio program, but I'm a big believer and supporter of women athletics. I coach girls basketball.
Yes, you
both
do.
Both my girls play basketball. I watch, you know, the WNBA. I watch, you know, high-level college games. I really enjoy it. I'll just say this, dude. Women's sports has done no favors by their leagues and their sports choosing to create the trophies for their leagues that they do.
Oh, we got bad trophies.
The WNBA trophies, one of the worst trophies to ever exist. And now I give to you...
I don't know if I've ever seen that trophy.
The PWHL Walter Cup Finals trophy that the women's hockey team is going to hoist here.
What'd you say it's called?
The Walter Cup.
The Walter Cup.
It's... Somebody is playing a prank on us. Part of the mystique of sports is earning the right to hoist a Lombardi.
Dude, what are we doing here?
A Stanley Cup, a Larry O, the World Series trophy.
Make a cool trophy.
You can say some of these trophies are not your favorite more than others or less than others, however you want to phrase that. Somebody needs to do a deep dive on, is somebody trying to play a prank on women's sports and not giving them better trophies? This trophy
is... That's a horrible trophy.
When you comp it to the Stanley Cup...
It's not even close. It's like, oh my God.
Make it a junior version of the Stanley. I wouldn't care. Like, do something. The trophies in their sports. Somebody needs to say something now, and I'm going to do it right now.
You
the
be
WNBA
the guy.
Trophy's terrible.
You lead the charge here.
And the PWHL Walter Cup trophy is atrocious.
Usually with trophies, the bigger the better. Neither of them are very big. WNBA, I'd say, is worse than the Walter Cup trophy, although both are horrible. It looks like, is it a bowl at the top of the wall?
I don't know what it is, man.
I can't tell if you can like drink out of that thing, because that's also
maybe
another
you can.
Requirement that I have of trophies. I want to be able to booze out of it, because that's what teams like to do when they win championships. I think you can point back to taking this outside of women's sports to all sports.
Yeah.
We're in a very sophisticated debate about what the future of college football is going to look like.
We
and
are.
What is the 4-team playoff done and blah, blah, blah.
There's a bad men's sports trophy.
I think you can point to a direct line of when we lost the plot in college football,
yeah.
when we went away from the crystal ball.
We had a crystal ball.
Everybody
football.
Could lift up and hold up. And the iconic photos of the coaches
so
winning,
good.
Holding the ball up, you put it back down on the trophy. The trophy is massive, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the bigger, the better. We overcompensate. That's how we should handle trophies.
That's how all men do.
We went from that to a lipstick tube.
A lipstick tube that detaches.
What
are we doing?
Part of me is frustrated if my team ever wins a title, because I don't want that one. I want the old one. Give me the crystal football.
By the way, look up the WNBA All-Star MVP trophy. And no, you didn't get butt cracked. They had to change it because of what Kelsey Plum had to hold up.
I mean, that can't be real.
It is.
That can't be. I'm getting butt cracked.
That's
right
not
now.
Teddy Ballgame's 2-year-old soccer trophy.
Dude.
That was the WNBA All-Star trophy. They had to change the trophy because
How
of the
are
backlash.
How there so many incompetent people in charge of things? Like, I don't know anything at all about women's basketball.
I feel like trophies shouldn't be difficult, but
no.
We're making it difficult.
Trophies and statues should not be tough. Let's not have bats fall off of the statues, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not do the Dwayne Wade or the Ronaldo face. This is not complicated, people. That statue is like, it's 6 inches tall.
Kelsey Plum is holding it with 2 fingers.
She's not even, how tall is Kelsey Plum?
About 6'1".
She's a guard, right? So, I mean,
she's
5'11",
6 foot.
Yeah, dude, that thing looks miniature next to her. Speaking of trophies, by the way, we did Teddy Ballgame at soccer shots this spring.
Yeah.
A lot of fun every Sunday morning.
Sure.
A little early, you know, probably.
A little exercise.
A little waste of money, if you ask me, but still, nonetheless,
it's
a good time, right? One of those first experiences of like, that costs that, that's how much it costs?
Yep.
But in the end of it, he got a medal. Dude has not taken it off in 2 days.
Oh, I love that.
Everywhere he's walking
around.
The
medal around. Is really the way to go,
the medal,
I think, over
I mean,
trophy,
he doesn't really have anything to do with the trophy,
it's
but
just
a medal.
Sit there.
He looks at it. He wears it.
Yeah.
He does not take the thing. Like the first night, he won it on Sunday. Sunday night, going to sleep and having to take his medal off and then putting it somewhere and getting him to go to sleep was like a 10-minute process.
Yeah, the medal, you can store the medal so much easier. When
yes.
you get to a certain age, your mom or dad are like, hey, here are your trophies. And you're like,
Third grade baseball? I don't want that one
back. I don't need this T-ball trophy.
No, I'm okay.
I did see in the NBA or the NFL, excuse me, speaking of trophies, did you see that JSN got sent the Defensive Player of the Year trophy?
On accident?
Well, I don't know if it was actually supposed to be the DePoy's trophy. I think they just put on the trophy Defensive Player of the Year.
For JSN?
For JSN's offensive, or for his offensive rookie, or offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year.
DePoy, yeah.
The D looks like an O, so it looks like they just misspelled offensive.
They just misspelled.
And it's OEF.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really bad.
You're a billion-dollar industry. Why don't
we... Multi-billion dollar industry. Don't shortchange them.
If you miss, like, just do
I know.
It again.
I don't know what they're
Make
doing.
It right.
I don't know what they're doing.
We clearly need a trophy czar. This should not be complicated. Big trophies,
yeah.
Some sort of cup.
A trophy
you hold
commission.
It up. Like, we need a trophy
Former
commission.
Former athletes and, like,
to fix
one
this.
Super fan have to be on the yeah. committee, and we present it, and we say...
This is a problem.
We have to be like Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. No. No.
Bring in Jabbar Muhammad. He'll do the TV, and then he'll just double thumbs down.
Muhammad. That's a good pull. And no.
Dude, I do that still to people in life.
Do you?
I do the double thumbs down. I think that's one of the best DB celebrations
ever. I'm going
to
try that next time my wife asks to get brunch on a major championship Sunday. Yeah, brunch? Yeah. How about no?
No, you don't even say no. You just do
the leader's tee off
double
in 15 minutes.
Down
We're not
it.
Leaving the house for 5 hours, honey.
Loaded second hour. Wimby goes off in game one. Let's talk Western Conference Finals, hour two. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.